It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Champions Celtic return home to face St Mirren as they look to bounce back from their Ibrox defeat. It's a huge day at the bottom with Kilmarnock hosting St Johnstone, Livingston taking on Dundee United and Motherwell up against Ross County, and Hearts are currently leading Aberdeen 2-1 in the race for third. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio today is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Well, if tension is the theme of the day, then Hearts and Aberdeen are setting the tone at Tynecastle. Matty Pollock put Aberdeen ahead in the first half. Josh Ginnelly with a wonderful equaliser before the interval, and then the captain, the inspiration, Lauren Shankland, put Hearts 2-1 up. There's a £5 million side stake here. Whoever finishes third will get guarantees of European football until Christmas. So we'll wait and see how that one finishes. Elsewhere, well, it's about absent friends. Dundee United, bottom of the league, going to Livingston, minus Stephen Fletcher, out for the remainder of the season by all accounts. Who will score goals for Dundee United? Likewise, St Mirren at Celtic Park, they've lost Alec Grieve and Brian Flynn. Curtis Main is the only one left.
Yeah, what a weekend of drama we've got in store, and it started last night with the playoffs for the Premiership and Partick Thistle with a great result, and then over to Hearts and Aberdeen. As it stands just now, Hearts cutting the deficit to 2 points and with every chance of pitting Aberdeen for third, and then at the bottom of the table, the bottom three all in action today, and each one of those could finish the afternoon bottom of the table.
Yeah, the fight certainly for third at Tynecastle this afternoon. Hearts great advantage, close that gap, as the guy said there. But all eyes got to be in the bottom of the league this afternoon. A lot of exciting games, a lot of important games. I'm looking forward to Rugby Park. A war of words between the two managers. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, not only that, Hugh Keevans, playoff drama as well. Playoff game between Partick Thistle and Ayr United last night. Annan and Clyde as well. We know what happened there. And of course, there's a big one between Hamilton and Airdrie later on today as well.
Well, the cliche is that Partick Thistle have one foot in the Premiership. I would say they have both feet and one arm in the Premiership. They have a lead that looks to be sustainable for them and unsustainable for Ayr United. But Ayr United will need to hope that Akinyemi is back for the return in Ayr next Friday night. It shows the value of having a goal scorer like him. When he's not there, it just didn't happen. And Brian Graham, at the age of 35, an evergreen for Partick Thistle, two goals for him. But today, Hamilton Aki's the return leg against Airdrie, there's only one goal in it. John Rankin surely will get the support of those Hamilton Accies fans, even the morons who abused him last weekend.
Yeah, huge, huge day across the top flight. As we say, it has already kicked off. Hearts 2-1 up against Aberdeen, and then four huge matches: Celtic against St Mirren, Motherwell Ross County, Kilmarnock St Johnstone, and then Livingston Dundee United. And then on top of that, tomorrow, 12 o'clock kickoff, Hibs taking on Rangers. Lots to get our teeth into and lots to discuss. And we hope you can join us as well at the open line at 5 o'clock. We want to hear from you, whatever's happened with your team today, or maybe your interest is tomorrow. We'll want you to join the discussion then. But for now, it's time to go around the grounds. Let's start with Celtic Park. Fraser Wishart is at Celtic against St Mirren.
I am. Celtic Park looking quite quiet at the moment, Andrew, as it always does at this time of the day, but beginning to fill up slowly. And the early team news for those on their way to Celtic Park is that Ange Postecoglou's picked pretty much what we'd all think was the full strength team. But one surprise is that Timoko Iwata signs a defensive midfield player. It looks like he'll play centre-back instead of Kobayashi, who had such a tough time at Ibrox last week. And I think Ange Postecoglou will know Celtic fans looking for a positive reaction from his team after last week's defeat at Ibrox. That's one of the very few disappointments, though, that the fans have experienced this season, and the players will be aware also of the expectations of the Celtic fans. It's also Celtic's first home game since they won the league at Tynecastle a couple of weeks ago in front of only a small number of supporters. So I think the Celtic fans fans come here wanting to be entertained, wanting to be in celebratory mode, and they've pretty much been entertained this season with the attacking football week in, week out, because their side has played with plenty of attacking force, goals, and today's an ideal opportunity to get back on track. Three games a week before the cup final against Inverness Cali Thistle on June the 3rd, and Alan Postecoglou want to finish the season on a high. They've been so dominant, it's hard to see what's left them for the play for, but they want to score more goals, get more points, and I think important is to keep the gap or even widen the gap between themselves and Rangers come the end of the season. But they're playing against St Mirren, who've still got plenty to play for. We've talked often about what a terrific season they've had so far, and still got a European place to play for, still a possibility, although that'd be difficult because they get Pittodrie in midweek and then at home to Rangers next Saturday. I think last week's late equaliser by Hearts was a real hammer blow for them. They now sit three behind Hibs, and without that, Shankland Golden right in the mix, right up a point behind Hibernian in this race for the conference place. But as you said, St Mirren's push hasn't been helped by the injuries to strikers. They lost Ayunga out for the season, and Tony Watt similarly had an operation on his ankle. Alex Grieve injured this week, and at least Curtis May been terrific this season, only fit senior striker, and Greg Kilty will move forwards from midfield to support him along with O'Hara and Burns. Celtic, of course, we know will have plenty of the ball, but no point in St Mirren sitting back. They need the points, need to get on the front foot when they can and take advantage of any opportunity when they get into the Celtic box, because even a point today would be welcome. As I said, strong Celtic team, four changes. Out go Bernabe, Kobayashi, Abada and O. They'll go drop onto the bench. In come Iwata, Taylor, Kyogo and Maeda. Usual formation, Joe Hart in goals, a back four, Anthony Ralston, Carl Stalfit, Tomoki, Iwata and Greg Taylor. Midfield, Matt O'Reilly, Callum McGregor and Rio Hitati, and Diogo Jota, Kyogo Furuhashi and Daizen Maeda as the three forwards. Scott Bain, Siad Haksabanovic, Liel Abada, David Turnbull, Yuki Kobayashi, Hyungju Oh, Alexandro Bernabe, James Forrest and Ben Summers are on the bench. For St Mirren, two changes. Tanzer drops to the bench. Grieve, as we said earlier, is injured. In come Small and Backus. Usual formation for them, 3-5-2. Trevor Carson in goals, back three. Marcus Fraser, Joe Shockness and Richard Taylor. Ryan Strain, Keanu Backus, Alex Gogic, Mark O'Hara and Thierry Small in midfield, with Greg Kilty and Curtis Mayne as the two up front. Peter Ominski, Declan Gallagher, Charles Dunn, Luke Kenny, Scott Tanzer, Colin Boyd Munce, Fraser Taylor, Kieran Offord and Lewis Jimison are the subs. And the referee today at Celtic Park is David Munro, and on the VAR is Stephen Kirkland.
Yeah, well, some very interesting team news there indeed. Yuki Kobayashi drops to the bench, Tomoki Iwata comes in and will be playing at the centre of defence. What do you make of that, Hugh?
I thought coming into the studio today that if Kobayashi was playing, the first thing Curtis Mayne would do would be to give him a wee reminder early on of who's going to boss that relationship. He didn't play well against Rangers. He was out-muscled, he was out-fought, he looked terrorised by what was going on at Ibrox. Now, what does Ange Postecoglou do? Because he's left them out. Now, you don't have to speak perfect English to understand that that translates as the manager did not have faith in me to play against St Mirren after what happened at Ibrox. So now what happens? Does Iwata play in the cup final against Inverness Cali Thistle as a centre-back? We'll see how he gets on against Curtis Mayne today, he and Carl Starfelt. But if you're Yuki Kobayashi, that's a big blow to your morale.
Yeah, what do you make of that, Mark? Because some people would see it as Yuki Kobayashi being dropped after maybe his last couple of performances, but other people may see it as Ange Postecoglou just trying out something new in Tomoki Iwata.
Well, of course he is trying out something new to see if Iwata's a possibility, but he's only doing that because Kobayashi has shown up to be in poor form the last couple of games. So he struggled badly at Ibrox, no doubt about that. I think he had a hand in both goals, if I'm being perfectly honest. And at Tynecastle, I didn't think he was actually in very good form either. So the manager obviously thinks that it's a position that needs to be addressed. If you're Kobayashi, it's not a great vote of confidence from your manager. I'm surprised at the lineup from Ange Postecoglou, if I'm honest. I thought he would have went with the team, or as close to the team as possible, as last week, because he gave these guys a chance to try something new and to give them game time to see if they were up for it, up for the challenge, actually challenging the starting 11 at Celtic Park. And he's changed it so quickly, it makes me think, well, what was the point in trying that last week, especially at Ibrox, especially in front of 50,000 Rangers fans, where it's hard for the established 11 to play, never mind guys coming in off the bench. So I thought he would have gave them game time. He obviously thought, no, I've seen enough and I'm reverting back to the tried and trusted.
It's now a snap judgment, it's not a considered opinion, it's a snap judgment, particularly with regard to Kobayashi. But Ange Postecoglou is taking Celtic to play St Mirren today at home, the first game at home since becoming the league champions two in a row. And I think he's picked a team to put on a show for the Celtic supporters who were disappointed by the Celtic performance. Ange Postecoglou said himself they surrendered to their fate in the second half against Rangers. I think he wants to put on a show. Undoubtedly though, the headline is Kobayashi out, and that, by putting in Iwata, is putting a square peg into a round hole, and we'll see how that works out.
I mean, Tomoki Iwata has played at centre-back previously. He did play both there and in defensive midfield in Japan, but I think he's only about 5'8", Gordon, so it will be an interesting battle between him and Curtis Main up there.
Yeah, he's got the experience of Starfelt. He's got Taylor, he's got Hart, he's got Ralston, they all know the positions. I think that Postecoglou's got one eye in the cup final. I don't think he's got great confidence in Kobayashi. I think that his Celtic career started not so great, but I'm not going to write him off. The lad's just in the door. He's got to take time. Maybe he's just taking him out the firing line for a bit. Some managers do that. It doesn't look good. Of course it doesn't, because everybody going along to Celtic Park, and we've already opened the show talking about it. But I think it's if he's not playing well and the confidence isn't there, take him out, settle down. 5'8" today, because I think Fraser said it there, and congratulations to Fraser giving that information. Just finished his PFA speech 5 minutes ago. I think
you having that, Fraser?
Listen, at least you turned up. At least you turned up.
David told me to say it, Fraser.
Dale was sitting in the house with a pot noodle.
he turned down your invite, and now he's insulting you.
But I've got to say, I think the information coming there from look, Fraser, right? I think Celtic will dominate the ball. He's a midfield player. I think that he could be a real threat today, coming out from the back, you know, making the passes and, you know, linking up with Callum McGregor. Be interesting to see how they rotate that today. I think that Postecoglou's got his mind on trying something different and looking forward towards the cup final.
Well, that's the team news from Celtic Park. Let's turn our attentions to the bottom half of the table. Roger Hanna is at Rugby Park for Kilmarnock against Ross County.
Yes, Andrew, and we are really in the teeth of the relegation fight now. St Johnstone and Ife are 9th place, 36 points. Kilmarnock 1 place and 2 points beneath them. St Johnstone away here today, away at Ross County midweek, and then finish next weekend at home to Livy. Kilmarnock home today, then away to Dundee United midweek, and then back here on the Sunday against Ross County. One will go down, one will go into a playoff, most likely against Partick Thistle after last night, and with Dundee United and Ross County both still beneath them, these two teams really do believe that they can pull off the great escape. Like Stephen McLean, well, he's more bullish than any other manager. He says they're coming here to win today. They will stay up. I think Derek McInnes was quite taken aback by the confidence emanating from Perth this week, and particularly when you look at the recent run of form. Andrew, Kilmarnock have won 3 of their last 6, including that 2-0 victory against Livingston here last Saturday. St Johnstone have won just 1 of their last 9, and you really can't take anything from the 3 previous meetings. 1 win each and a draw in the 3 meetings this season. And despite a sort of perception that Stephen McLean was talking about through the week, that St Johnstone don't like the plastic down here, they've lost just 1 of the last 5 visits to Rugby Park, so it all makes for a really tense, brought 90 minutes this afternoon. Kilmarnock, as you can imagine, unchanged from that victory over Livingston. Innes Cameron, he's back in the bench instead of young Bobby Wills. But I'll give you the team. Sam Walker in goal. To back 4, Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Gerry O'Dorset and Luke Chambers. Across the middle, Danny Armstrong, David Watson, Liam Donnelly and Rory McKenzie in the front 2 of Christian Doige and Kyle Vassell. On the bench, Hemming, Sanders and Power, Jones, Lyons and Polworth, Alston, Robinson, and as we said, they recalled Innes Cameron. 2 changes for St Johnstone after last week's defeat to Mullow. Jamie Murphy drops to the bench and Daniel Phillips is out injured. In come Ryan McGowan, and a first St Johnstone start for Cammy Ballantyne, 23-year-old attacking midfielder. He was out on loan up and froze in the first half of the season. He's only made 1 St Johnstone appearance, a late sub at Elgin in the Via Play Cup last July. Big call this from Stephen McLean. They will go with Remy Matthews in goals, the same back four: James Brown, Liam Gordon, Andy Considine and Adam Montgomery. Ryan McGowan will play just in front. Then it's a 4 of Dre Ride, Cammy Ballantyne, Cammy McPherson and Graham Carey, who turns 34 today, and the lone striker is Stevie May. On the bench, Sinclair, Mitchell and Gallagher, Witherspoon, Murphy and Rudden, Kane, McLennan and Bear. The referee is John Beaton and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
Yeah, every one of these games having a big effect on the other. At Fir Park, David Friel is watching on as Motherwell take on Ross County today.
Yeah, Andrew, and more relegation tension in the air for Ross County here. They really need a win, but it's all smiles for Motherwell, I suppose. They're hosting a family fun day at Fir Park. The pressure's off, the place is mobbed outside. Great to see. It's bouncy castles, candy floss, face painters. I declined in case anybody's wondering. And loads of other stuff going on outside the stadium. So, really, really mobbed. Good place, Motherwell, right now. Loads of families outside just now, but inside there's only one star attraction. That's obviously Motherwell striker Kevin Van Veen. What more can be said about him? He's now in 26 for the season. He's been nominated for the Scottish Football Writers Player of the Year award this morning, and he's aiming to score in his 9th successive league match today. He's already got the record in the Premiership era after doing 8 in a row last week at St Johnstone, but needs a few more to get past the likes of Mark Viduka and Marco Negri. They both managed to score in 10 successive league games probably 20-25 years ago, but he wouldn't back against Kevin Van Veen to get his 9th successive game today. He's got 5 against Ross County already this season and 6 in his last 4 games against them. So he likes playing against Ross County, he likes scoring against them. Motherwell in great form, as I said, are now closing in on that 7th spot in the league. Stuart Kettlewell has made just one change. There's no Callum Slattery at all in the squad. Harry Payton comes in against his old club. So Motherwell, the usual sort of 3-4-1-2 formation. Liam Kelly in goals, Paul McGinn, Callum Butcher, Dan Casey at the back, Stephen O'Donnell, Harry Payton, Sean Goss and James Furlong across the middle, with Blair Spittle in behind Mikael Mandron and that man Kevin Van Veen. Subs for Motherwell are Oxburgh, Lamy, Mugabe, Aitchison, McKinstry, Cornelius, Blaney, Obika and Tierney. As for County, as I said, really under pressure, try to get wins, try to get away from there. At the bottom, they start the day second bottom, 2 points above Dundee United after winning there last week and 1 point below Kilmarnock. So Malcolm Mackay's side, as I said, they were outstanding last week, huge 3-1 at Tannadice. Jordan White bagging a hat-trick that day. The former Motherwell striker again leads the line today. He's going to make 2 changes from that game. I think they're just stiffening up a little bit, maybe looking at the threat of Van Veen. Josh Sims and David Kinkola both drop out. Keith Watson and Noan Kenny come in. So it looks like a sort of 5-3-2 formation for Ross County. Ross Laidlaw in goals, back 5, Connor Randall, Jack Baldwin, Keith Watson, Alec Yakavita and George Harmon. Midfield 3 of Jan Dander, Victor Latoury and Noan Kenny, with Alex Samuel playing just off Jordan White. Subs for County are Monroe, Purrington, Aurora, Murray, Sims, Tilson and Smith. The referee at Fir Park is Ewan Anderson and the VAR is Willie Colm.
And the final 3 o'clock kickoff in the Premiership at the Tony Macaroni Arena. It's Livingston against Dundee United with Dave Galloway watching on.
Well, there's little more than pride and places for next season left to play for as far as Livingston are concerned, Andrew. But their slump, which has seen them suffer 3 defeats in a row and 5 losses out of 6, is obviously of concern to them, and they are keen to at least finish a disappointing campaign on a high. Skipper Nicky Devlin seemingly all set for Aberdeen. A pic emerged yesterday of him on social media appearing to be signing a pre-contract with the Dons, is in the Livy starting 11. As for Dundee United, they're well and truly back to square one after seemingly digging themselves out of a hole with 3 successive victories. Back-to-back defeats have seen them tumble back into it, and propping up the rest of the Premiership with 3 games remaining are running out of time to save their skins. Livingston, they make 3 changes to their starting lineup. In come Boys, Penrice and Anderson for Fitzwater, DeLucas and Pittman. So it's George in goals at the back, Devlin, Boys, DeLucas and Montano. Midfield, Shinney, Sean Kelly and Penrice, with Stephen Kelly and Newbley playing behind Anderson, who's the focal point of the attack today for the host. The subs, Hamilton, Holt, Pittman, Brandon, Bradley, Parks and Omeyonga. Dundee United, well, 2 changes for them. Mulgrew and Middleton are in for Edwards and Fletcher. That's a big miss. He appears to have suffered an injury of some sort. Birigiti in goals. Aina, Mulgrew and McMahon, the back 3. In midfield, in the centre, Harkes, Sibbald and McGrath, with Niskanen and Behich, the wing-backs. Up front, it looks like McLeod and Middleton. The subs for United: Newman, Pollitt, Doom, Levitt, Freeman, Edwards, Fotheringham, Cujo and Thompson. Your match referee here at the Tony Macaroni is Don Robertson, and on VAR is Grant Irvin.
Well, that's a taster of what is to come around the grounds in the 3 o'clock Premiership kickoff. There is 8 minutes added at Tynecastle with Hearts leading Aberdeen 2-1. We'll give you the full time picture from there, and we'll look back on that game between Partick Thistle and Ayr United after these.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Massive day of Premiership action here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic taking on St Mirren as they return home for the first time since clinching the league title. And then massive games down at the bottom. Motherwell taking on Ross County. Kilmarnock are in action against St Johnston, and Livingston against Dundee United. But there is a huge game on the go at the moment. We are deep into injury time. It's the race for third place, which would really hot up if it stays the same scoreline. Hearts leading Aberdeen 2-1. It's almost full time, Hugh Keevans, but this would be a massive result for Hearts.
Yeah, of course it will, but, and they have more than deserved it. They have been the best side by far. They've also at 2-1 missed two glorious chances from Alan Forrest and Cammy Devlin to make it 4, but they will hold on. They deserve to hold on, and now it's a case of what happens in the two games that remain for either side, because Hearts are at Ibrox on Wednesday night, and then they have the Edinburgh Derby at Tynecastle next weekend. Now, if that wasn't exciting enough, Aberdeen have St Mirren at Pittodrie midweek, and then they finish up at Celtic Park on the day that Celtic get the league championship trophy. So 4 amazing games left for Hearts and Aberdeen, but we're now having an Aberdeen player treated for a head injury, quite a serious looking one as well, and that will further delay the end to this match. But if it does end in a victory for Hearts, it is no more than they deserve.
Yeah, it's been a really intriguing race for third, because at one point Aberdeen looked way out of it. We then know the story with Barry Robson coming in, really turning things around, and then all of a sudden with this result, with two games to go, it really opens it up again.
Mark, it's been incredible when you look at the two clubs throughout the whole season. You know, start with such optimism, then Jim loses his job at Aberdeen, replaced by Barry Robson, who gets him in an upturn of form. And then Robbie Nielsen at Hearts, you know, going along pretty nicely until the World Cup came along. And then all of a sudden things go wrong and they get rid of him. And Hearts on the right path once again, and they're in line here just to cut the gap to 2 points, and they're right back in the mix. But Hugh's right, the games coming up for both teams are absolutely massive, because finishing in that third place means so much to the club for the budget next season.
Yeah, well, the game isn't over yet, because there was that clash of heads between Matty Pollock and Nathaniel Atkinson. So the two players, both members of the medical staff, just making sure the two players are okay. We are now into the 10th minute of injury time in that game, so there was stoppages before that as well. I think it was a minimum of 8 that was added before that. But you look at this game, Hearts would be deserved winners, you would say, if it finishes this scoreline, because they have been the more attacking side. They've looked the most dangerous in this game.
Yeah, and so far scored the goal of the weekend, Gianelli. Absolute wonder goal. If you've not seen it, please watch the highlights of the game. Terrific. And yes, you're right, Hearts, I think, home advantage. Going to go behind, showed great courage, good character, back in this. But I was listening to Hugh there and Mark talking about the last two fixtures. Really tough for both sides. I think even though Aberdeen losing today, if they do, I still fancy them for third place.
Well, what a feather in the cap of the Hibs boss, Lee Johnson, if he were to beat Hearts on the final day of the season and defy them and deny them the £5 million European windfall. But at the moment, anything could happen in those games. You'd fancy Aberdeen to beat St Mirren on Wednesday night. You'd fancy Rangers to beat Hearts on Wednesday night. But what do any of us know when it gets to this stage?
A big win for Stephen Naismith it would be as well, who I'm sure will be keen to impress in these final few games of the season with the Hearts job up for grabs.
Yeah, well, he's on trial. And I've got to be honest, last week, probably about 3:30, 4:00, I thought his chances were gone. But he managed to turn it around and get a vital point at St Mirren, even down to 10 men, and followed it up with this. So he's still in with a fighting chance. I think he's got every chance. If Hearts nick third place, then I think the Hearts board would look at that as a positive a positive change in terms of Robbie Nielsen and Stephen Naismith being given his first job. But I know he said third place isn't everything when he took the job, but I believe if he doesn't get it, then Hearts will look elsewhere.
It shows you the value of strikers. You know, as I said last night, Akinyemi not able to play for A United, that they had no thrust up front. Meanwhile, Partick Thistle did and won 3-0. Today, Aberdeen without Duke. They haven't been sharp in front of goal at all. Neither have Hearts. They've scored twice, but they've missed two sitters into the bargain. But when you miss prolific goal scorers like Akinyemi and Duke, it tells.
Well, that is full time at Tynecastle, and Hearts are 2-1 winners over Aberdeen. Roger Hannah, just how big a result is that?
It's a huge result, particularly for Stephen Naismith, because I tend to agree with what Mark says. If Hearts don't finish third, I think they will look elsewhere for a manager. It keeps it going. If you looked at the midweek games there, you would fancy Aberdeen to beat St Mirren up the road. But remember, they lost at home to St Mirren in Barry Robson's first game in charge, so they'll take nothing for granted. I thought when Matty Pollock put them ahead today, that might be the battle for third over. But all credit to Hearts for rallying. Great goal by Josh Ginnelly, an important winner by Lauren Shanklin, who's edging ever closer to 30 goals this season, which would be a fantastic haul for the Hearts captain, and a big, big win for Hearts just to keep everything going up for that third place fight.
Yeah, David Friel, you look at the way that Hearts have performed at Tynecastle under Stephen Naismith so far. They were excellent in that huge win against Ross County. They looked really good in that first half against Celtic, really took the game to them until Alex Cochrane was sent off, and then showing that resilience today to get a big result.
Yeah, it's huge, Andrew, and you know, especially at home, I think Stephen Naismith is getting a tune out of his players. I just wonder if it's too little too late for Hearts. You know, it's Aberdeen having that 5-point cushion ground in this game today. I would fancy them to take care of St Mirren in midweek, and then that means Hearts would have to really go and get a result at Ibrox. So I think he's done well enough, because Hearts were in a real bad place when he took over. But I just wonder, in terms of getting that first spot, it's just a little bit late for Hearts. I do think Aberdeen, even though Duke's injured, obviously, and Angus McDonald has been off today as well, obviously got some issues there, but I do think Barry Robson's side might just have enough to get over the line in this one.
Yeah, Fraser Wishart, you look at the fixtures that are coming up for both these sides. Hearts are away at Ibrox in midweek, and then they host Hibs next weekend. So there is two massive games for them as they look to hunt down that third place. And then you look at Aberdeen's fixtures that they've got coming up in the next couple of midweek. They're at home to St Mirren and then away to Celtic, when Celtic will be presented the trophy next weekend. How do you see this race for third going?
Yeah, I think the key game for Aberdeen is going to be midweek, and what happens there might depend on how St Mirren get on today. You know, if St Mirren have still got a chance of getting that fifth place, then they'll be up for that. But if it's taken away today over the weekend, then perhaps it'll be a different dynamic. But I think that the split gives fairness at the end of the season, because they all play each other. It's not as if Aberdeen are sitting playing the bottom two and Hearts are playing the top two. It's fairness. You all have to play each other at this stage of the season, so it's pretty fair. But I think it just shows also Rangers and Celtic the importance to the Scottish game that they do well in Europe. You know, and I know the monies go to these clubs as well, but because their coefficient has been taken so high by these two in recent years, as we know, Hearts last year guaranteed 8 games, and the same this year. And that was the comments that were made by Andrew McKinley, the chief executive of Hearts, when he sacked Robbie Nielsen. I mean, Robbie had them in third almost all season. They lost, and he dropped to fourth, and he lost his job, because third is absolute for this football club, because they know that they want that money, because that gives them a huge advantage over their rivals, Hibs and Aberdeen. So it just shows how important the European places are for Scottish clubs.
Yeah, Gordon, how important do you think in-form strikers were for that game today? Because Lauren Shankland has been in excellent form, plays, gets a goal. Josh Ginnelly as well. Bojan Majovski didn't show much, and then Duke out injured, which is a huge one for Aberdeen.
Yeah, I thought Duke this afternoon was a massive loss. Not just the fact that he can score goals, but he gets you up the park with his pace, his ability. He's a threat. Defences tend to go a bit deeper. I think Hearts could afford to push up a bit higher this afternoon. I was touching on Hearts' first goal to go and watch it, but if you're a young lad trying to learn how to be a striker, Shanklin's movement and his finish for the winning goal is absolutely terrific. He's been a very, very good player for Hearts this year. I think the responsibility of the captain has helped him as well, Andrew. But he's a terrific finisher, and he proved that today. That's a valuable 3 points, but I still think, looking at the fixtures, Aberdeen must still be favourites.
Yeah, well, a massive result in the Premiership in that early kickoff. Hearts 2-1 winners over Aberdeen. There was a big game last night as well in the Premiership promotion playoffs. Partick Thistle 3, Ayr United 0. The playoffs have thrown up some fantastic games so far, and Partick Thistle are in excellent form.
Well, when I was in here on Wednesday night, and we played the clip from Brian Graham, the Partick Thistle striker, saying that he wanted to stick two fingers up to everyone who had conspired to relegate Partick Thistle in the season that was called early because of the pandemic. And I said at the time, anger is a motivation, a thirst for revenge is a motivation, and Brian Graham proved that was the case last night. Two fine goals from someone who I think will be in the Premiership next season with Partick Thistle. Akinyemi has been fantastic for A United, but he'll need to be Superman next Friday night to salvage this particular situation.
Do you think Partick Thistle are big favourites against whoever finishes 11th in the Premier League?
I think they've got a momentum going, and I don't think that, for example, a Ross County or a Kilmarnock, or indeed a Dundee United, and there's history there between Partick Thistle and Dundee United where playoff finals are concerned.
St Johnstone could not get dragged into it as well.
St Johnstone, if they lose today. Now, Stephen McLean, I think, showed his inexperience of being an interim manager dealing with the media by coming out with the "we will definitely be a Premiership side next season." I think the Kilmarnock manager Derek McInnes didn't like that. He thought it was disrespectful, and they will move heaven and earth today to try and get a home win. And home wins for Kilmarnock account for 85% of their points this season.
Playoffs throw up some crazy situations. We saw down south the Sheffield Wednesday Peterborough tie, which was absolutely incredible, with Partick Thistle 3-0 up. Mark, do you see any way back for Ayr United?
Well, it's hard to see a way back, but I'm sure Chris Doolan will only have to point to that to his players and say, do not get complacent. Look what happened last week in English football, and it shocked everybody. And if Depo Akinyemi's back, then there's every chance, because Ayr United have built a successful season on home performances and on him scoring goals when they've been in top in games. So it could quite easily happen. Partick Thistle at the back, I mean, they've got their deficiencies. Of course, they're in the driving seat. And by the way, it could have been much worse. Brian Graham, before he scored his two goals, had probably the miss of the season. So congratulations to Thistle, because the pressure has been on their shoulders since that game at Ibrox when Ian McCall lost his job after it, and everybody was surprised. Chris Doolan came in, done a terrific job. They did have momentum, but there's always pressure on your shoulders when you're at a club like Thistle. You know the expectation that surrounds that club, but they're right in the mix. I'm not as confident as Hugh if they go into the playoffs against a United, Kilmarnock or Ross County, that they will brush them aside. I think they will give each of those teams a good game. But the tie, I know it's 3-0, it's just not over yet.
Roger, you're a founding member of the Depo Akinyemi fan club. How big a miss was he last night?
Well, the funny rustling sound you're about to hear, Andrew, is me desperately clutching at straws. Lee Bullen, Sheffield Wednesday legend, remember? He was talking about that comeback by his old team against Peterborough that you mentioned. So I retain a sliver of hope. But listen, Dippo, as soon as we saw the team last night, it's an enormous miss. You talk about no Duke for Aberdeen today, no Kyogo for Celtic at Ibrox last week, no Stephen Fletcher for Dundee United in the run-in. When you lose a player of that importance, it's a savage blow. 24 goals this season, PFA Scotland Championship Player of the Year. Ayr's next top scorer is Josh Mullen on 8 goals. You know, Dippo hasn't missed a league game in his Ayr United career until last night. And you looked at the team, it was almost as if his teammates didn't believe they could do it without him. And I think it's critical that he plays whatever state he's in. And I know he's got a back injury. I think it's critical for Ayr to have any chance that he plays next Friday night. But I tend to agree with you. I think if Thistle get through, if Chris Doolan, who's done a terrific job, sees them over the line, I think they can cause problems for whoever finishes 11th in the Premiership, because you spoke about Brian Graham. I like that. Kyle Turner in the middle of the park. The fullbacks, McMillan and Holt, get on. But it's that three behind Brian Graham, Tiffany, Lawless and Fitzpatrick. They can cause problems for any team with their pace, their guile, and they look a team that really has got momentum behind them, as you said.
Yeah, a huge result last night, and we're looking forward to seeing what is going to happen in the Scottish Premiership today. We'll go back around the grounds after these.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Around 15 minutes to go until the 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Scottish Premiership today. There's already one full-time result, Hearts beating Aberdeen 2-1 in that big game in the race for third place. Hearts now just 2 points behind Aberdeen with 2 games left to play. There are some huge games still to come though, and a lot of those down the bottom with that relegation scrap. Let's start going back around the grounds. Let's go to the Tony Macaroni Arena. Dave Galloway will be watching Livingston against Dundee United, where there is no Stephen Fletcher. He's out for the rest of the season. That will be a big loss, Dave Galloway.
Yeah, a massive miss. He really has been the talisman up front for the Tangerines this season, Andrew. And, you know, it will be an untried permutation up top. McLeod and Middleton, both good players in their own right, but can they gel? Can they form a partnership? Can they find, you know, a way to goal? Looking at the way the teams are going, I mean, you know, United really looked to be on the rise, didn't they? But it was Comic Cuts defending. That was evident in last weekend's home defeat by Ross County. And, you know, they've conceded more goals in the league than anyone else. 62 in 35 games. It remains to be seen as well how Livingston fared today after narrowly missing out in the top six. They've really kind of tailed off, haven't they? 3 defeats on the spin and no goals scored. Now, if they lose today without finding the net, that'll be the first time they've done 4-0 in that particular manner for 21 years, a most unwanted record.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on the shoulders of a 17-year-old Rory McLeod, although a lot of managers will say that young players don't play with that type of pressure or feel that type of thing.
I suppose so. So for the young lad, then, he's got nothing really to lose. I don't think he'll feel the pressure. However, if you're a Dundee United fan going along today and you're desperate to win and you go along to the ground, you pick up the newspapers today and you see that Stephen Fletcher's out, it is a huge blow because he has been an outstanding player for United this season, and goals will get you out of this mess in these remaining 3 games. So a huge blow, very light up front for Dundee United, and a worry for my old side today.
Well, it's a fascinating thing because no manager, I believe, Andrew, in the bottom six is under greater pressure than Jim Goodman. There's talk on Tayside of a potential takeover of Dundee United. Local businessmen forming a consortium. Mark Ogden, the American-based owner of the club, has not had a successful time managerial change after managerial change. And Jim Goodwin, whether he's 17 or not, he has to put everything on Rory McLeod's shoulders. But I actually think Dundee United will do well today for this reason. I think actually that Livingston have left the country. I think they are in Ibiza. Given the way that they've been playing recently, I don't believe that they're actually still in the country. So, and Nicky Devlin having signed a pre-contract with Aberdeen, well, that tells its own story. So I think Dundee United will win that game.
Motherwell hosting Ross County in another big game down the bottom. And every single week when we talk about Motherwell, David Friel, we talk about Kevin Van Veen. But Ross County will be pinning their hopes on Jordan White after his hat-trick last time out.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, obviously the spell at Motherwell, Andrew, I don't think it went overly well. I don't think he really left here with fond memories. But look, he's a handful. He's going to be up against a back three that's done very, very well for Motherwell. You know, as soon as Stuart Kettlewell came in, sort of rejigged the team, he stuck with Paul McGinn, Callum Butcher, Dan Casey. They all work well together. But Jordan White, as I said, is a handful. Alec Samuel around him will do a bit more running, but I'm sure County will look to play off Jordan White. But I think for Malcolm Mackay, the key is up the other end. As I said earlier on, you know, he has stiffened his team up. He's brought a bit more muscle in at the back, and they just have to try and handle Kevin Van Veen in some way. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the summer. It looks like he might move on. I know Motherwell want to keep him. He's still got a year left in his contract, but you just wonder how many more times he will play at Fir Park for Motherwell. And I think he's clearly desperate to get those 30 goals. He's on 26, and as I said, his record against Ross County is very, very good. So I think if Motherwell are going to get anything, obviously it's going to come through Van Veen. But likewise, if Ross County want to have any ambition to get a result here, they need to keep the shackles on them.
Yeah, well, Kevin Van Veen with another nomination today. He's up for Scottish Football Writers Association Player of the Year, along with Callum McGregor, Kyogo and Cameron Carter-Vickers. And the other game in the bottom six, Kilmarnock against St Johnstone. Some interesting comments before this game. Roger Hanna, Stephen McLean being very bold, saying that St Johnstone will be a Premiership team next season, saying they will go to Rugby Park and win. It certainly didn't go unnoticed by Derek McInnes.
Well, fair play to Stephen McLean, because quite often, Andrew, you'll know yourself, you go along to these pre-match press conferences and the managers just say the same old mundane things. It'll be a tough game, no easy places to go, blah blah blah. So fair play to Stephen McLean. If he's got the confidence to come out and say St Johnstone will be playing Premiership football next season and they're going to Rugby Park on Saturday afternoon to win the game, then more power to his elbow. I think Derek McInnes seemed more taken aback than anyone else at the comments that were coming from his old club in the middle of the week. But no, I think you have to give Stephen McLean a pat in the back. Like Stephen Naismith, who we spoke about a few minutes ago, he's still fighting to convince the St Johnstone board that he is the answer in the dugout on a permanent basis. I think if he keeps St Johnstone up, I think he'll get the chance at the start of next season to take the reins of the club. And if he exudes that kind of confidence and belief in his players, I think it'll be a popular appointment at Perth.
Gordon, do those types of comments put pressure on Stephen McLean, extra pressure?
I tend to agree with Roger. I think it's a bit refreshing. I'm fed up of the old cliches. I know that Hugh quite rightly says about Derek McInnes, very experienced, he'll play it very low key. Of course he will, that's what experienced managers do. Steve McLean's there, he's putting a bit of belief into that dressing room. He's putting a bit of his belief to the players to say, look, couldn't make sure that I'm not eating my words at 5 o'clock tonight and Derek McInnes and Kilmarnock are rubbing it down my throat. But it does give you a wee bit of incentive if you're in the Kilmarnock dressing room, you know, talking about it just before you go. We've all been there. It gives you that wee bit of edge. I just think it'll be a terrific game, but I quite like it. I think it's a bit different, and it's okay if you win. If you get beat, then it's obviously got to be thrown right back in your face.
Be like me in my predictions. Be bold. Be forthright. And
wrong.
Then take it in the neck when you're
wrong. Yeah. I think he's trying to take a bit of pressure off the players by putting himself out there. We've seen all the top big managers do that, and it works to a certain extent when you get it right.
Does it take pressure off the players, though, when you're saying we will win and we will be a Premiership team next season?
Look, the players are probably in that dressing room with pressure mounting on their shoulders week after week. 1-1-9, you can see where the players are at this minute. So when you hear your manager saying that, maybe you think, well, I actually believe that. For Stephen McLean, he's there for a short time. He's got to make the biggest mark he can in that short space of time. Now, if he wins today, every St Johnstone fan will be saying, that's the man for us. We like his style, we like his approach, and he backed it up, so he'll do for us next season.
That's where he's got nothing to lose. I think he's, as much as everybody's going, oh, it's a bold statement, I think he's been a bit clever, because I think Mark touches on a great point. You get a victory today, people are jumping on the bandwagon with you.
Well, that's the picture in the bottom half of the Premiership. We'll go back to Celtic Park next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Closing in the big 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Scottish Premiership. One full-time result already to bring you. Hearts 2-1 winners over Aberdeen. There was, of course, a big playoff game last night. Partick Thistle winning 3-0 against Ayr United. Hamilton and Airdrie taking on each other at 5:15 as well. Loads going on. And, of course, tomorrow at midday, Hibs against Rangers. Lots of talking points, and we want you to join us for the rest of the afternoon. Let's head back to Celtic Park before kickoff to get a recap of teams and a build-up to kickoff with Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, it's all building up nicely here, Andrew. You know, this is the first home game since they've won the league. It's first in a month, the semi-final against Rangers, then at Tynecastle and Ibrox. So a lot of these supporters, first time they'll have seen their team in a month, and Ange Postecoglou has picked what many might see as his strongest side, other than perhaps Cameron Carter-Vickers, of course, who'll miss the rest of the season. But everything points to a day of celebration for the Celtic supporters. We're just waiting for the teams to come out, and I'm sure there'll be a huge roar from the supporters for the championship winning team. I think there's no meaningless games for the Celtic supporters. I think there will be a huge applause, and just when they read the teams out, the biggest applause was for Ange Postecoglou. He's absolutely worshipped here, and I think Ange is conscious of an obligation on his team and on him to entertain the Celtic supporters. And they want his team to start quickly, I think, getting early goals. The way they play, we know they take free kicks, they take throw-ins early, they get the ball moving and get the ball in play to try and pressure teams. And they want an early goal and then play at a very, very high tempo. They've been hugely successful this season, and they want to keep the points difference between themselves and Rangers at double figures, and then be able to focus on the cup final against Inverness, Cali, Thistle and the treble. From the team situation, it's the same. Some expected Ange Postecoglou, sorry, to stick with his fringe players that played last week. But the only surprise is Iwata is in for Kobayashi. As you, I will go through the teams, you just listen to the noise here as the Celtic team comes out onto the field of play, led by Callum McGregor. A huge reception from the Celtic supporters for the favourites. But the team is under usual lines, 4-3-3. Joe Hart's in goals. Got Ralston, Starfelt, Iwata and Taylor at the back. O'Reilly, McGregor and Hatate in midfield, with Jota, Furuhashi and Maeda as the forwards. Bain, Haksabanovic, Abada, Turnbull, Kobayashi, O, Bernabe, Forrest and Summers make up the substitutes of a very strong Celtic team. For St Mirren, 3-5-2 for them. Carson's in goals. Fraser, Shaughnessy and Taylor at the back. Strain, Backus, Gogic, O'Hara and Small in midfield, with Kilty and Main as the strikers. Uminski, Gallagher, Dunn, Kenny, Tanzer, Boyne, Munce, Taylor, Offord and Jimmis. This will be a difficult day, I think, for St Mirren. They need the 3 points. They're needing a point would be good, because they want to keep up the pressure on Hibernian, who play at home to Rangers tomorrow in the race for fifth place. That would be a fantastic achievement for St Mirren if they were to get that fifth place, however unlikely. And St Mirren actually, I mean, a decent fist of it against Celtic this season, if you can say that, when they had 2-5-1 defeats and a 4-0, but they won 2-0 in Paisley. And even in the 5-1 defeat here in the Cup in February, it was 1-0 with 75 minutes gone. Richard Taylor handball in the box, so harshly sent off, I thought, but then Celtic added 4 in the last 15 minutes. And even when they played in the league fairly recently at St Mirren, it was 1-0 to St Mirren just before half time. Charles Dunn with that short pass back, and then the daft challenge, again a red card, and Celtic took charge of the game. I think the key for St Mirren will be staying in the game, and dead balls will be interesting from that point of view. We talked about Iwata playing centre back. He's only 5'10 I think, according to Wikipedia. They're quite a small team, but St Mirren have got a big set of players. They've got three big centre backs, Fraser, Shaughnessy and Taylor, and they'll come up for corners and free kicks. Gogic has got a bit of height in him as well, as his Curtis Main. Good delivery from the likes of Strain and Small into the 6 yard box. But I think the problem for St Mirren is getting up there, is getting up to that final third to try whenever they can to get on the front foot, because Celtic, as we know, will dominate possession in that midfield area. O'Reilly and Hatate and McGregor, they'll just take the ball, they'll knock it around, they'll then use the pace of the three forward to try and pressure St Mirren, especially early on. So it's really important for St Mirren that they keep themselves in the game for as long as they possibly can. So Celtic supporters here, being an expectation, really expecting their team to roar forward and to entertain them today. The Celtic players to my left are in the huddle, and a huge roar as they break from the huddle, and it will be Celtic to kick off. Matt O'Reilly in that centre circle just with the ball. He'll knock it back to Callum McGregor. Jota, Maeda, Hatate, all in that wide area on that left-hand side as well, looking to get early pressure on Celtic. So a big game here for Celtic. They want to play well, but maybe in a bigger game for St Mirren. They need the points here at Celtic Park. We've just kicked off.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Buy now, pay nothing till 2024.
Yes, underway in the 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Scottish Premiership today. Looking forward to those. A lot of good action we should hopefully be in store for today. And the Celtic fans will be delighted to be at home and see the team at home for the first time since they were crowned champions.
But I don't think they'll get it all their own way. You know, Stephen Robinson has said that he might as well give it a go, and if he loses 3 or 4 nil, then so be it. So I think Curtis Main will try and unnerve the central defensive partnership of Starfelt and Iwata, and he's very good at that. But obviously Celtic, they have nothing to apologise for. They lost to Rangers last week, but why would you apologise when you've done as much as they have done under Ange Postecoglou? But they will want to make up to their fans for that and try and give them a home win. And I think they will get the home win eventually. I also think that Ross County will lose to Motherwell. I think Kilmarnock St Johnstone will be a draw. And Livy Dundee United, I'm going for Dundee United to win away.
I think Celtic will win comfortably here today. I think Motherwell will beat Ross County. I think there will be a draw at Rugby Park. And I fear from old side, I think Livy will stop the rot with a horrible run they're on and beat Dundee United.
All home wins apart from two for me. I fancy Celtic.
So not all home wins.
I fancy 50% of the games. I fancy Celtic. My 50%ers are Celtic and Kilmarnock home wins, Motherwell Ross County draw, and Dundee United to beat Livingston.
Well, an early shot for Motherwell. McGinn's low shot save 20 yards out was a decent effort. Dundee United with a corner early on in their game as well, but that was gathered by the goalkeeper. So wee bit of action early on in those games, and still quiet at Celtic Park in the opening seconds.
It's a day of high nerves, Andrew, for especially for those at the bottom of the table, of course, and those in the playoffs. But for Dundee United players, Kilmarnock players, and those at Ross County, then again, I'll say it, I've been there before. Relegation battle, getting into it, three games to go this season. You know what's on your shoulders. You know what comes with being relegated? It's a horrible thing to be involved in.
Right, before we get any goals, let's do this.
The first half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Now, this is a test of your wider knowledge, because this one relates to matters down south. Since 2016, seven Scots have been promoted from the English Championship to the English Premier League by winning the playoffs. Who are they? Since 2016, seven Scots have been promoted from the English Championship to the English Premier League by winning the playoffs. Name them.
Right, make sure you send us a tweet. All the answers in the one tweet as well. You can see that as well if you head over to @ClydeSSB. It may be a bit easier to see it written down as well to get all the details, but we will check in on that. Remember, all the answers in one tweet @ClydeSSB. Get your answers in as quickly as possible and you could be on the podium for the first half teaser. How are you feeling about that one, Mark?
No, Lord? I'm not very confident. Yeah.
Are you not?
No. I don't watch a lot of English Championship football.
No, but
that includes the time I was in the English Championship.
Well,
as well.
You weren't in it. How long you get relegated?
Yeah,
you got a good view from the bench, though. No,
some of the games I didn't even make the squad, so I didn't bother going.
How bad a day must it be? If
I'm
going to
stop you there, because what about this for an early goal?
Goal flashes. With Clyde-built home improvements.
Celtic 0, St Mirren 1, Curtis Main with the early goal at Celtic Park. What a start it is for the visitors.
What did I tell you? I said they would not get it all their own way and that Curtis Main would try to unnerve Iwata and Starfelt. And that is a real shocker for the Celtic fans. But again, Stephen Robinson did say he would give it a go, and he didn't care if he lost 3 or 4 nothing. Well, he's not going to lose 3 or 4 nothing because he scored.
Yeah, well, Main got onto a long ball. He checked back onto his right foot. It was a low shot under Joe Hart. It's a really good start for St Mirren and completely the opposite for Celtic, Mark Wilson.
Certainly is. After last week, not the start you would want in front of 60,000 of your own fans. But you remember, St Mirren came here early on in the season and they showed a good account of themselves. Just couldn't get their noses in front. And you know, they've got themselves in front, but again, not convincing from the Celtic backline. Mistakes, and I tell you what, you could pick about three at the Celtic backline and the goalkeeper at fault there, but take nothing away from Main. Took his opportunity. Long way to go, though.
I've got to say, Hugh, I think it was Fraser that says the strongest team without Carter Vickers. Obviously, he missed out. John Stout, right back area. Ralston, opportunity for him because of the injury, Johnson. Dreadful. Can't describe it any other way. Dreadful. He has two goes at it, not just one. Main, too easy. And I've got to say to myself, the goalkeeper, who I think was poor last week at Ibrox, that is a disaster.
Yeah, here we are, a team 2 weeks away from the Scottish Cup final. A world record-breaking treble at stake. I know the opposition comes from a lower league, but Joe Hart just doesn't save very much at the moment. Anthony Ralston would be no one's idea of a first pick at Celtic. And it's a shabby, cheap goal to lose.
Is that bad a goal? Sorry, Andrew, that if you look at Curtis Mayne, he's actually shocked that that ball's went in the back of the net, but obviously delighted.
Who's at fault there for the initial ball over the top? Because it's a latter that gets dragged out. Him and Ralston both kind of go for it and then ends up in the path of Curtis Mayne.
One thing you didn't want highlighted, the Celtic manager wouldn't have want highlighted, is the change, the glaring change that he's made in the team. A central midfielder, albeit he's played there before, going in and replacing Kobayashi, a centre-half. And Iwata and Ralston just get it totally mixed up. Now, if you're looking at that and you think Carter Vickers has played there, I think he takes command of that situation. Ralston gets out the way and it's a non-event. However, there's a bit of uncertainty there. Ralston gets it all wrong. But Daz is right. Ralston gets the opportunity to get back and he's so easily beaten. And then Iwata has the opportunity to stop the shot, and he kind of half turns his body, and then Hart is should save it. So many problems there, so many players you could pick out, but look, it's only 5 minutes into the game. There's a long way to go. Celtic just need to up the tempo.
No time for that.
Hugh's already got the 3 points written,
Hugh. Just get Hart off and put Scott Bain on. He signed a new contract. He's a better goalkeeper than Joe Hart. Yeah, man.
What, that was a surprise, eh? Scott Bain. A 3-year deal. If only I was still hanging about at Celtic just now.
I've got to say, I've looked at the modern day football. If I ever come back, I come back as a goalie, right? A second choice goalie.
Second,
because you probably get a few quid more than the third choice. You turn up, you train Monday, Friday, and you sit on the bench. Happy days. Get a nice weekend.
Joe Hart,
pick up your candy. Where you go, Mark?
Big save from Sam Walker in a Kilmarnock goal. It was a shot from Trey Wright, the first St Johnston attack, but it is squandered. Or it's saved by Sam Walker anyway, from the foot of Trey Wright.
If I was Stephen Robinson, I'd be thinking we could get something here. Just watch Greg Taylor sclaff one backwards and then Joe Hart comes out and kicks it off a St Mirren player. They spoke about, David Fayle spoke about the bouncy castle outside Fir Park. Is it a bouncy castle inside Celtic Park with the way the defence are playing?
Hey, I mean, you need to put it all into perspective. Celtic have won the league. They've been very good all season, Mark. But Ange Postecoglou, after the game at Ibrox last weekend, said that the players had maybe accepted their fate when they went behind at Ibrox. Yes, this is a different game. It's at home against St Mirren. But Ange Postecoglou will be keen to see a quick reaction from his players.
Of course he will be. And I think his team selection reflects that, because he's not hanging about. I think that shows how annoyed that he was with some of his players underperforming at Ibrox in the manner of the defeat, that it chose him to pick an 11 more recognisable to strongest side. But started in exactly the same way, well, even worse, because the goal's horrendous. And Hugh's right, looks sloppy as well in possession, and we're very early on in the game, but he's not got the reaction at the minute that he would want.
Well, I think that he got an initial reaction, because I think Greg Taylor and what, 8-9 yards out on that favourite left foot, he should do better. You'd expect Celtic to, I still, as much as great start for St Mirren, the long way to go in this game is the Celtic part, and the big guns are out. I expect Celtic to come back into this very shortly.
Yeah, one thing St Mirren will be keen to do is keep 11 players on the pitch, because they've started well against Celtic in the last two games, but have had early sendings off, and then they've ended up going on to lose 5-1.
But I do commend them. Stephen Robinson has highlighted the weakest area here, and again, Curtis Mayne is just having a field day here with a defence that looks all over the shop, and with a goalkeeper behind them who at the moment couldn't keep pigeons out of a loft.
Do you know what I've noticed right away, Hugh? I've noticed right away, St Mirren are just going long, right up through the middle, and saying to Curtis Mayne, go and battle with the two centre-backs, and they look a bit uncomfortable, but Celtic obviously in a bit of possession now.
Got one of these.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Kilmarnock 0, St Johnston 1, and it's Liam Gordon, a header from a corner, and it's a big goal for St Johnston at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock failed to clear, Liam Gordon with the header, and they're 1-0 up.
Well, it's a manager justifying his words, or an interim manager justifying his words. Terrific start, but as Gordon has been saying so far, early yet, but You better to go in front than to go behind.
Yeah, big day for St Johnstone. They get the 3 points today, they can relax.
Oh, it's all happening.
Oh, glasses.
With Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Livingston 1, Dundee United 0. Mark, you did say you feared for your old side, and they are already 1-0 down to Livingston. Really poor defending, but a good finish by Bruce Anderson to put the home side ahead.
Big blow for United, and you'd have to fear for them. You know, one, because Stephen Fletcher's out and they're behind, so how did they get back into it? But I just felt something a bit livid today. I know Hugh was saying they're in Ibiza at the minute, but when you look at their run of results, the last six games, lost five of them, you know, and failed to score in five of them, you just thought that that's not going to continue. David Martindale is not the type of manager that just lets that slide and people just ride off into the summer holidays. So I thought it was going to be a difficult afternoon for my old side.
The Tangerines are in trouble, Mark. If they don't come away today with something, I think the Tangerines are, and that's an understatement, but they could automatically go down.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a long range strike from Ocean Beach. It was you rounded the goalkeeper and stuck that one
Hugh
away.
It's a
beach club in Ibiza.
Oh, is it?
You would fit right in with the orange cup just standing by the pool and your speedos.
Is this a George Bowie and hair blowing in the music place?
No, it's more. It's about everything. There's a bit of entertainment on view as well.
Tony Bennett's entertainment.
Hugh Anstruther's your limit. Just stick to that.
I'll go up there tomorrow. Thank you very much.
We should actually try and make that happen, Andrew. Ocean's Beach. Speedos. Glass of red wine.
Shut the place. Hang about with Wayne Lineker. Shut the place down.
A wee video for the
wouldn't
bag
be great for Ocean's Beach image. Yeah, I don't think you'd get on their Instagram.
Do they still call them discotheques?
Well, this is an outdoor one with a swimming pool. So
al fresco discotheques then.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Aina and Berighetti not covering themselves in glory for that one. We've heard that a few times about Mark Berighetti this season. Loic Aina, it's not really been too convincing for Dundee United either at times.
No, well, Berighetti, I mean, United have had no end of problems with their goalkeeper. Remember back to Dingwall, where he dropped out the team, and was that the day that Liam Fox lost his job? Was that? It was around that time anyway, but United, all sorts of problems at the back. And I mean, was it Dave Galloway that was saying lost the most amount of goals this season? And you look at some of the players in that team, they shouldn't have lost that amount of goals.
Another goal.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it's at Celtic Park, and it's Celtic 1, St Mirren 1, and it's Kyogo with the goal. He's back in the starting lineup, and he's back amongst the goals. Kyogo makes it 1-1.
No surprising for me. Like, as a terrific start, Celtic. I don't think those Celtic players would have, I know it's still early, but if they would have went in 1-0 down to St Mirren at Celtic Park after last week to the manager, I think they would have had a few strong words. There was always got to be a reaction. That's why they're the champions. That's why they've been so successful this season. That's why they'll probably go and win a treble. I expect Celtic to win this game this afternoon comfortably.
There's a recurring theme. Last night, no Akinyemi, no Air United. Partick Thistle win 3-0.
Depot.
Is he like Maradona and Pele now?
Yeah, Roger Hanna's got him right up there. Depot.
Well, there was no Depot last night, but there was a Brian Graham, the top scorer for Partick Thistle, and 3-0 for the Jags. Today, Lauren Shankland, top goal scorer at Hearts, wins the game against Aberdeen minus Duke. Meanwhile, the other end of the M8, Kyogo Furuhashi, 31 goals now for the season to get Celtic on level terms, and that is why strikers cost so much, why they are so invaluable.
Yeah, it was Iwata's pass to Hatate. Hatate played it through to Kyogo. Oh. A high finish into the top corner. Really good finish from Kyogo to level things up. And that is exactly what this Celtic crowd will have wanted to see.
I think you underplayed that there, Andrew. A really good finish. That is a terrific finish. It's just one of those. It's a good ball through. He sets himself up, his touch. And then the goalkeeper positions so well, but he absolutely blasts that by him into the top of the net.
Brilliant goal. Brilliant ball from Iwata into Hatate, who's on the half turn. Nice little ball through. It's very unlike Kyogo to score a goal out. We're used to seeing him score cutbacks and a few tap ins. That is
beautiful.
Absolute
goal.
Bullet into the top corner.
Well, there is a check going on.
VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
But not at Celtic Park. It is at Livingston against Dundee United. Livingston had the ball in the net. Louis De Lucas netted after a free kick. Check being made for Dave Galloway thinks possible handball. Either way, the goal has not been given following the check. So it remains 1-0 to Livingston.
What a break.
Still
1-0.
Yeah. Still 1-0. Yeah.
All right, okay.
That was for 2-0.
Sorry, I should have clarified that. That was to make it 2-0.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Bruce Anderson with the first goal. De Lucas had the ball on the net there, but that one is not going to count.
50% of their goals have counted so far for Livingston. Like, yeah, like your predictions, 50%
of 50% here, yeah. Half and half.
A big goal, I should say, as well, between Albion Rovers and Spartans. Albion Rovers, of course, looking to retain their SPFL place. Spartans want to get into the SPFL. It was 1-1 in the first leg, and Blair Henderson has scored a penalty to put Spartans 1-0 up. So Spartans could be an SPFL side by the end of play today.
Well, it's the story of Scottish football's evolution in recent years. The Kelty Hearts, Bonnyrigg Rose, Cove Rangers, they've all come in, and Spartans might be the next one here, because that's a real good start for them.
Spartans is a club though that doing it a bit differently from Cove Rangers and Kelty. You know, community based club, a lot of good charity work. You know, it's not like somebody's come in and pumped, you know, a load of money in to get them where they are. They've had to do it the hard way, and, you know, Hugh's right, evolution of Scottish football is there to be seen at Albion Rovers. How many years, Hugh, has Albion Rovers been in the leagues?
Yeah, well, you're
as
talking,
long as I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, you're along the lines of 120 years, you know. I mean, everyone loves the wee Rovers, as they are called, but I'm afraid that football now doesn't do sentimentality.
It don't
does.
Write them off, Hugh. Is it Sandy Clark's the manager there?
Yeah.
Old teammate. You know, good experienced manager. So don't write them off.
Roger Hannah tells us 104 years unbroken in the league system for Albion Rovers.
Well, Sandy Clark last week, Gordon, described the game against Spartans as rubbish. I would like to know Sandy's word to describe the progress of this game.
Yeah, as I say, Spartans 2-1 up on aggregate against Albion Rovers in that vital playoff game. 1-0 up on the day, 2-1 up on aggregate. So we'll see how that one plays out. That one was a 3 o'clock kickoff as well, so we'll keep you across that one as well, across all the Premiership action. Celtic 1-1 with St Mirren so far. The only goalless game in the top flight is Motherwell against Ross County. The biggest chance there so far, Kevin Van Veen, he had a low shot saved, the first real chance for him. And Kilmarnock 1-0 down to St Johnstone. Livingston 1-0 up against Dundee United. It is one of those days where you need to, as it stands, table, don't you, to see exactly what's going on at the bottom.
As it stands, it's two between three, Kilmarnock, Ross County and Dundee United, because St Johnstone are away in the horizon if they can get a result. Still a lot of football, bit of pressure. Mark quite rightly says this afternoon, this is a pressure time, you've got to stand up and be counted. So still a bit of football to be played.
Hugh, well, do you want to give us that teaser again?
Yeah, of course. Since 2016, seven Scots have been promoted from the English Championship to the English Premier League by winning the playoffs. Name them.
So let's have a look at Twitter to see what wrong answers we've got so far. James A. Forrest is an icon, says Ryan Fraser.
No, he's not there.
He says Liam Cooper.
No.
Chris Martin.
Nope, he's in Coldplay.
Grant Hanley.
No.
A bit of work to do on that one. Let's have a look elsewhere. I see a good few correct answers in there. Lots of people tweeting in. There is a shout from Andy Caithness. He says, I think, is that Craig Gordon he's gone for?
Yeah, I understand the thinking with Sunderland, but no, Craig Gordon not there.
And I think he's also gone for McGregor. I'm assuming he thinks maybe Alan McGregor with Hull.
Well, they feature, but not Alan McGregor.
There's a clue for you. A clue. We will get back to that. Oh, is that some wrong answers?
Yeah, is somebody stood near your door, something? Have you got the McGregor one?
Sorry?
You got the McGregor one?
The McGregor one? Aye.
Who is it?
What do you mean?
Did you not give us a clue there by saying Alan McGregor, but it's not him, it's another one?
Yeah.
So it's the surname's McGregor then, I take it?
No. That's not what I meant at all.
All right, okay.
Try listening to the show. He said
that's
Hull.
That's not very
can
good.
Can I ask, what is up with you today? Because you're sat there in the corner. Yeah. I can barely see you because you're hiding behind the screen. Is everything all right, Gordon? Everything
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, but obviously...
It's a tough weekend.
I wish I could continue that at the moment, but we have one of these.
Goal flashes with Clydebuilt Home Improvements.
Livingston 1, Dundee United 1, and it's Ian Harkes, a volley from just outside the box. A lovely finish from Ian Harkes, and Dundee United back in that one. It looked as if they could have gone 2-0 down. Livingston had the ball in the back of the net through De Lucas. That one was initially ruled out, and then VAR backed up that decision. But Dundee United have gone up the other end. Ian Harkes has volleyed in, and it's 1-1.
It's already a tale of twists and turns at the Tony Macaroni. You know, Livy 1-0. And we're predicting gloom and doom. Livy might have gone 2-0. VAR gets Dundee United out of that one, and now they've equalised. So it sounds like the kind of afternoon that is going to sway backwards and forwards.
I agree with you, Hugh. I think we'll get a lot of twists and turns this afternoon. And already we've got off to a good start with some good goals. We're just waiting for David Friel at a third party.
He's on the bouncy castle.
Yeah, yeah. Nicknamed the post, he always delivers well. He's certainly not delivering today, let me tell you.
Celtic have had a couple of chances. There was a good save by Trevor Carson low to his left. It was Matt O'Reilly with the shot there. And then a couple of minutes later, Rio Hatate firing over. Trevor Carson not having to deal with that one.
The player Hatate is, you actually expect him to do better there. I know it's just over and he's about 20 yards out, but it just opened up in front of him. It was a good opportunity for Celtic, but for Moside United, Dundee United, delighted they're back in it. Just goes to show you VAR, you know, we complain about it, but it was brought in, and the argument I had was that it could save people's careers. And when it gets down to relegation time and clubs going down, it may just be a VAR decision, a right VAR decision, that's the difference between your club staying in the division and saving tens of jobs running your club or not.
I don't even want to know what this show is going to be like if there's a contentious VAR decision that ends up sending a club down.
Oh well, you know, I go back to Brian Graham, who felt that Thistle had been, to use his word, shafted by the authorities because a league was called early. That had a dramatic impact on Partick Thistle, had a dramatic impact on Rangers' relationship with the SPFL. Come the end of the season, big decisions do carry consequences.
A surging run from Paul McGinn at Fir Park. The shot in the end was saved a bit weak in the end after a decent run from Paul McGinn. Livingston with another chance. It was Stephen Kelly with a long range free kick. We know he can hit them, but that one didn't hit the target, just over from the Livingston midfielder.
Well, quiet in that game for Ross County. We're mentioning Dundee United plenty. We're mentioning Kelly St Johnson, but Ross County just quietly going about their business. I wonder if they come out there with a point and be happy, because when you look at Motherwell's form, you know, you wouldn't fancy going away to Fir Park at this moment in time with Kevin Van Veen looking for 9 in a row. So if they manage to keep them quiet and get in 0-0 at half time, I think Malky McKay will be a happy man.
You know, David Friel says that Ross County haven't offered anything in attack, but are kind of just sitting back a bit, not being too open at the moment, maybe just trying to stay in the game and then see what they can do later
on. Don't blame them for that. The counter attack, you're up against the informed side. Obviously, Van Veen has been in terrific form, the boys quite rightly said there. You look at three games, if you says to Ross County, you'd get, what, 7 points out of 9, you'd be delighted. So far they're sitting on that, and I think they'd be happy, like Mark says, if they get out for part of the day with anything. I think Malky McKay would be a happy manager.
Big one for them was last week, yeah, going to Tannadice, because on the face of that, it looked like United didn't get a win there. They're looking good. Three back-to-back or four back-to-back wins, that would have made it for United, I think. Oh no, sorry, they'd beat off St Johnson, but it would have put Ross County right into trouble. And when you need your goal scorers, like we've been chatting about all day, White popping up with a hat-trick, huge.
I mean, the big one at the moment is St Johnston, currently leading away to Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock with a very good home record this season. We know they've not been very good away from home, but to go there and to currently be 1-0 up, that would be a massive result with two games left to play.
Well, as Gordon Dale rightly said, it puts clear blue water between them and the rest of the teams down at the bottom. Kilmarnock, though, have that home record, which accounts for 85% of their points this season. So they certainly won't be giving up on anything. But if you're Stephen McLean, you say, thank goodness for that. I'd rather be a goal up than worrying about whether we can score two against Kilmarnock, because they've got a goal up.
A bit of Scottish interest in the League 2 promotion playoffs down south. It was Salford against Stockport. Stevie Mallon scored in extra time, but then missed a penalty in the shootout, which means that Salford have lost and Stockport progressed
was
to the final.
Was he the only one who missed a penalty kick?
I'm not 100% sure.
He's not going to have a good weekend, does he, Mark?
And then he has to deal with Gary Neville because he owns the club.
Yeah. Roy Keane's there. Roy Keane's there. I've seen him.
Stevie Mallon, one of those players that just goes out of your mind. He was such a good player when he was
away in Turkey, I think he was at one point.
So did he go from Hibs to Turkey?
Yeah, you don't recognise him. He's come back with a frizzy haircut, big white teeth. I see the state of him now.
Yeah. No, but a good player. Yeah, condolences to him, because that's going to be a long old night.
He's not dead, he just didn't make the playoffs.
He wasn't the only one who missed, so he might feel a wee bit better because he wasn't the only one. Can drag a few others down with him. Yeah, that is Stockport through there. There is a fine run by Stephen Kelly into the box for Livingston, but he shoots wide from the right-hand side of the box as Livingston look to get back ahead after being pegged back by Dundee United.
That sounds like a right good watch. You know, there's all sorts of things happening in that game. So Dave Galloway will not be touching the burger at all. He'll be concentrating fully on the pitch.
The two burgers would have been well done before they come on here, let me
there
tell you.
There is no wimpy, is there? Round about the
MacArthur
Glen shopping centre. Get himself in there. I was in there yesterday, actually.
My grandson was telling me at Brighton you get vegan food.
That's pretty common these days, isn't it?
I think you get that in a lot of places. It's not just
it's
you.
Not you.
What about Forest Green? That's all you get, a Forest Green. Big Dunk would be, is the owner not a big advocate of that? Forest
Green. Big time.
How's Dunk done since he went in there? I've not really
badly.
Has he?
He's still with the weight. Can he eat? he's struggling.
He's losing every game, but the bright side is he's lost. He's lost a bit of size round about the waist.
He has been a word that begins with H and finishes with a double S.
He had to do a few awkward promos when it came to his.
Daz and I are just trying to work that out.
Hopeless.
Right, okay.
What were you two thinking?
I've no idea. I was trying to put other words in there.
Redline.
I was putting other letters in there.
Just can't give these two riddles at all. Which doesn't bode well for the first half teaser.
No, not going well. Have you got any in the first half teaser?
I've got an absolute cracker here.
Okay, give us it. It's a team game.
Let me see yours.
Give us it again, Hugh.
Yeah, since 2016, seven Scots have been promoted from the English Championship to the English Premier League by winning the playoffs. Who are they?
Yeah, you can see that at Clyde SSB. Remember to get all your answers in the one tweet. Sandy Logan has a few in there. He's gone for Ryan Christie.
Nope, not there.
Ollie McBurney.
Nope.
John Fleck.
No.
And Kenny McLean.
Oh, well, he's at Norwich, who bounce up and down, but no, he's not on this list.
Yeah, they tend to go up automatically, don't they? And he's also gone for Liam Cooper.
No.
Sorry, I've just eviscerated your tweet there, Sandy Logan. There's still a bit of work to be done for you. Kenny Mackay says Angus Gunn.
No.
It's another of the Norwich contingent as well. How are you two getting on, making some sort of progress?
Daz has got a good one there.
Yeah, you happy with that, Hugh?
Yeah,
a wee nod of the head. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, they're firing. They're firing on
firing.
Blair Spittle with a good pass to Kevin Van Veen, but Laidlaw was out quickly to gather as he tried to round him. Kevin Van Veen looking to score for, was that a ninth consecutive Premiership match, which is incredible.
Make him the record holder, I think. We went on about Ian St John and Dixie Deans. Craig Dargo. Remember Craig Dargo?
Kilmarnock.
Do you remember? Yeah, I seen Craig Dargo this morning.
Well, he did an 8 in a row as well.
Why did you see him this morning?
Because he's my partner's brother-in-law.
No,
and we were over his house. How weird is that? You mentioned Craig. Yeah, Craig's a good goal scorer.
Tell him I mentioned them.
He'll be listening.
Good striker.
Yeah.
Yep.
You didn't have Dargs, did you, at any club?
No, it wasn't that good.
No. I hope he is listening.
Aye, terrific player.
He's now at Thistle now, and on the staff at Thistle, so a good weekend for Thistle and Craig.
Yeah, Kilmarnock, Inverness, St Mirren, loads of clubs.
Yeah.
Craig Dargo.
Yeah, actually, Craig, how things are weird. Craig was playing the day St Mirren beat Celtic 4-0.
Yes.
Tony Mowbray's last game. Yeah. And
you playing?
I was guilty of probably three of those goals. So, weird how your paths cross again.
Does he ever mention it?
He keeps it. He downplays it all. He's fairly quiet.
He's a quiet boy, is he? I don't really know him that well.
Why is this turned into the Craig Dargo?
The Craig Dargo. This is your life. He's getting on smashing now.
Yeah, we phone in the open line at 5:10.
Yeah.
Then he can stick the boot in. That's when he'll do it. He'll leave it for on air.
Yeah.
It's been pretty quiet across the grounds in the last few minutes. Celtic still 1-1 with St Mirren, 0-0 between Motherwell and Ross County. Kilmarnock 1-0 down at home to St Johnston, and 1-1 between Livingston and Dundee United. Of course, big game tomorrow, Hibs against Rangers. Mm. There is an interesting one at 5:15 tonight as well, Hamilton against Airdrie. That will be a cracker to see who will be in the Championship and who will be in League One next season.
Yeah. Dreadful publicity surrounding the Hamilton Accies fans who verbally abuse their manager, but they really have to get behind them. I read Colin McGowan, the chief executive at Hamilton, talking about the toxic nature of some of the supporters. Surely, to goodness, you get behind the club, the manager, the players tonight when it's the Lanarkshire derby, and it could do as much for you as this one could for the Accies.
Luke Chambers off the post for Kilmarnock. David Watson couldn't turn in the rebound, the best chance for Kilmarnock so far. A good story about Luke Chambers during the week as well, that he turned down the chance to go to the under-20s World Cup with England in Argentina to stay with Kilmarnock for the last three games of the season and help them fight off relegation.
By the way, a good player. I seen him in his debut against Dundee United at Rugby Park. He looked a good signing, but it speaks volumes. I don't think the English FA will be too happy about that. I heard that they only went out there with, is it 16 players, and three of those are goalkeepers because so many of the clubs have pulled their players out. But for Kilmarnock and Luke Chambers, it makes sense. It's for the players down south who are getting no game time and clubs have pulled them out needlessly. But well done to him.
Where are they going, did you say? Argentina?
Argentina, yeah.
Who needs Buenos Aires when you can have Barassi?
I lost a great trip to Monte Carlo. I told that story.
Oh, bore off with that.
Was that to Scotland?
He's
your
told
side,
us.
Scotland under 18.
Have you not heard this, Andrew?
By the way, I was a very important player. That was the time I made my sort of a... It wasn't my debut, obviously. I played against St Mirren at Love Street. Old Love Street, Fraser will remember that. And I was sitting there with my Scotland suit on, going to the airport, flying out. Private jet waiting to have me to go to Monte Carlo. Greggy pulls me in. So this is true.
He tells a story every 2 weeks.
No, no, no.
And is it different every 2 weeks?
No,
as
no.
Well?
But my best one is, I was in the first team against St Mirren. The following week I was on the bench. The following week I was in the squad, didn't make it. The following week I was in the reserves, and the following week I was sub with the reserves within this, and I still had my Monte Carlo suit on.
Didn't they go to subs with the reserves?
I went for first team and worked all my way down. And I'll tell you what, I was absolute. That's a record. Van Veen and all that can forget about.
We thought Morelos' attitude was bad sitting on the bench. Imagine you, this guy.
Do you know? I was sitting on the bench. I think we were playing Hibs or something. And I was sitting on my bench going, 4 weeks ago, I was getting told I couldn't go to Monte Carlo because I was such an important part of this squad. Now I kind of got a game in the reserves.
Shows the standard of you.
But you made the Klein sound very humorous there.
I was brilliant here. I was good. It gave me a couple of days just to reflect. A couple of weekends, nice and easy.
A wee bit of action around the ground. St Mirren having a decent spell, a half chance for Richard Taylor from a corner, but his control was poor, and Joe Hart grabbing that one. Alex Samuel unlucky with a low shot for Ross County. They've not ventured forward too much, but first opportunity for them. Christian Montano for Livingston. Really good effort from the edge of the box. That one flew just wide, and then another chance for Ross County as well. It was a Baldwin header wide from a corner, but I think Liam Kelly had that one
if
well
you're
covered.
Andy Postecoglou, you really can't just dismiss what's going on at the back for Celtic today. You know, they have just looked all over the shop. They are back in the game, they've equalised, and they have peppered the St Mirren goal with all manner of shots, but at the back, they're not doing terribly well.
Does it possibly highlight how key Cameron Carter-Vickers is and how much Celtic miss him when he's not in the team?
Well, he's the one, because I've no doubt Alistair Johnson, the contribution he's made, he's been outstanding, but Carter-Vickers is the one, at the glue that holds them all together. I think if Alistair Johnson's in that side today and it's a Watt at centre half, you're still seeing some of the problems. I think Carter-Vickers just brings a calmness to the full thing at the back. So like, it serves up as a reminder to Ange Postecoglou that although his squad's strong, and we got some calls on it last week saying that Celtic squad weren't as strong as some thought, don't quite believe that. But in that position, I think you said, Daz, that you wouldn't be surprised if he adds another centre half summer.
Well, he's taken the lead there. Celtic would have been our own goal. It was Jota with a driven cross deflected off Richard Taylor, and it was a good save at the near post by Trevor Carson. And then also Kevin Van Veen with a shot blocked after a really good piece of skill, according to David Freel. I'll be looking forward to seeing that. He's had a few of those in the last few weeks, hasn't he, Kevin Van Veen?
It's outstanding. The guy's ability. If I'm a Motherwell fan, I've got to be honest, I don't expect to see Kevin Van Veen next season. And that's no disrespect to the club. Motherwell have to capitalise on where Kevin Van Veen is at this time, off the back of a season where he's been outstanding, not only a goal scorer, but shows sublime pieces of skill like you've just described. And his contract, he's only got 1 year left. They have to cash in when they can, but they shouldn't sell him on the cheap. I'm not saying that, but I think they'll get decent money for him come summer.
Yeah, 31.
Kevin Van Veen, he's been very open about his future. He said that if Motherwell get an offer, that's very good for them financially, that he thinks they should take it, but also says that, you know, if he is a Motherwell player next season, then he's more than happy because he loves the club. Where do you see his future?
I don't think Van Veen, as much as I love him as a player, will have a season like he's having this year. And Hugh was saying there, 31, you're getting to the end of your career, you're starting to look at, you know, the sort of a financial side of it. Of course you do. Now, I don't think he's a player that has made enough money that he's got to just retire and do a Gareth Bale and just go and play golf everywhere. He's floated about lower division football. I think Van Veen will be desperate for a move, you know, to get a good contract, his last contract probably under his belt, and no better time to strike now when he's obviously hot property.
Well, a sitter there from Ryan Strain as St Mirren look to take the lead. The fullback prodded wide from 6 yards. I think it was a Greg Kilty cross that maybe wasn't dealt with by Joe Hart, and Ryan Strain with a big, big chance to put St Mirren ahead. So Celtic going close at one end. It was a Matt O'Reilly cross that was deflected at the near post, and then it was saved by Trevor Carson. And this time up the other end, Ryan Strain just unable to give St Mirren the lead. However,
goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
They have taken the lead. It's Celtic 1, St Mirren 2, and it's Curtis Main with his second of the game, and St Mirren back in front.
Well, that makes it officially a shambles. I said to you, you know, that we're all over the place at the back. To lose two goals, with the greatest respect to St Mirren, Main is the only forward they've got left because of injury, and he's already scored twice.
VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Are St Mirren going to be ahead because there is a VAR check for offside?
Well, is that reverse light somewhere?
Hugh was climbing over the desk there trying to get the words back into his mouth.
Button. If Celtic need VAR to get them out of trouble at home against St Mirren, then that tells you how poor they are at the back.
Is it getting them out of trouble?
Well, offside.
Hold on, the decision hasn't been taken yet.
Yeah, true.
I'm not the one who might be scrambling over the desk to reclaim their words.
Just to describe the goal, Celtic couldn't clear a long throw. Main headed low past Joe Hart from 12 yards. Joe Hart didn't move, but
regardless of the outcome, Hugh is right. As a shabby, because just moments ago you see Joe Hart with the ball at his feet, unopposed, tries to pass it to Starfelt. It's 5 yards past him. The Celtic manager will not be happy with this first half performance, regardless of if goal stands or not.
Now, you can say all you like about the subconscious and Celtic taking their foot off the pedal or whatever. That may be a consideration, but the bottom line is they are shabby at the back. They are, and the goalkeeper, you know, he saves very little now.
But it shouldn't be an excuse, Hugh. I know that you can come on and say, well, Carragher Vickers aren't playing, but you've got Ralston that's played a lot of football with Celtic. You've got Starfelt that's number one choice. You've got Taylor, number one choice. And you've got a goalkeeper that's number one choice in the position. So I'm not buying the excuses that, oh, well, we're missing a few players. You're basically missing, obviously, your right back that would play, but Ralston's well capable
decision
of
made.
Getting in there and play. Goal.
Goal. Goal
well
stands.
Done, you. On you
2-1 up against Celtic,
right, you
at
too.
Celtic Park.
You too.
And it is a double for Curtis Main.
Starting climbing over the mess, you too.
You were right. But it's been
I go back to my original point, which is if you're losing two goals to St Mirren at home, first half, then the defensive display is very worrying. 2 weeks ahead of a cup final, even good players like Greg Taylor are playing badly. Mediocre players are playing even more of a mediocre fashion, and the goalkeeper for me gets an easy time of it because he's just not performing like a top class goalkeeper right now for Celtic.
I think it's easy to overreact in a situation like this, especially when Celtic lost 3-0 to Rangers last weekend. But Ange Postecoglou won't be happy. We know what his mantra is, you know, we don't stop and all that. So he's not going to be happy that despite the fact Celtic have won the league, that potentially they could lose a second game in a row. They've still got a cup final to come. He'll be wanting to finish the season as strongly as possible, and that is not the case at the moment.
Well, he understands what the fans pay to go and watch. They pay to go and watch a team perform and win, first and foremost, but to entertain. And this is none of them. So his team reflected that. He picked a strong team to go and make amends for what happened last week. And it is the complete opposite. If anything, this is shades of being worse than last week because of the performance, the defensive performance. I mean, St Mirren strain should have put St Mirren 2-1 ahead before Main nods in and makes it 2-1. So it's a real lacklustre display, not just from the back line at Celtic, but the full team.
I've got to say, it's shambolic defending, and you can't even the Celtic supporters would admit that. But once again, I'm looking and I'm going to point the finger at Joe Hart.
Yeah,
he's. It's a powder puff header.
And he made no attempt.
Terrible. Absolutely
By
terrible.
By the way, see last week, I may have mentioned this, but just briefly, Rangers' second goal, people say, well, it's a great header from John Souter. See, when you watch it again, it's not right in the corner of the header. Joe Hart did not move last week. And for anyone who has not seen the goal yet today, Curtis Main, you're right, it's a soft header and he's rooted to the spot.
Right, let's wrap this up before we get our half times.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Since 2016, seven Scots have been promoted from the English Championship to the English Premier League by winning the playoffs. They are Scott McKenna, who did it with Nottingham Forest in 2022, Tom Kearney, who's done it twice with Fulham in 2017 and 2021, Kevin McDonald, also at Fulham, same 2 years, John McGinn, Aston Villa 2019, Andy Robertson at Hull in 2016, and in that same season, Robert Snodgrass and Sean Maloney at Hull as well.
And we have a full podium as well. In third place is BKRFC 1972. In second place, Kieran Polland. And in first place, taking the bragging rights, is Joe McCormack. How did you two get on?
Yeah, very well.
We got three. not that well. Yeah, long way off.
50%.
I can't believe I didn't get Maloney when we went Robertson and Snodgrass.
Well, how about this? There is a red card for Kilmarnock. David Watson, the youngster, with a straight red card. It was a foul on Ballantyne. John Beaton was well placed. He took his time before pulling the card out. There was the usual VAR check, of course, because it was a red card, but didn't look great from the youngster, David Watson. And Kilmarnock 1-0 down, and now down to 10 men as well.
And he's a very good player too, Watson. So twists and turns again. A goal down and now a man down.
Everything that Stephen McLean visualised and manifesting is coming true.
Yeah, the VAR check is now complete, so David Watson is off. He's had a very good season, David Watson, since he's been put into the first team. I think he's just 18 years old. He's won the club's Young Player of the Year award, but that's a moment he'll want to forget quickly.
Yeah, especially when the game's so important. You've probably walking out there thinking, I've let my teammates down, I've let everybody round about me down, but there's still a bit of football to be played in that, and they need to show a bit of character now. But St Johnstone firm favourites today, that could be a big day for them.
Two minutes added at Fir Park, 2 minutes added at the Tony Macaroni Arena, and the same minimum 2 minutes added at Celtic Park as well. So not far away from those half time scores. St Mirren with a lead at Celtic Park, still 0-0 between Motherwell and Ross County. St Johnstone have 11 men against Kilmarnock's 10 and a goal up as well. Livingston 1, Dundee United 1. We do have our first half time. Let's go to Fir Park with David Freel.
Yeah, half time, Andrew. Motherwell 0, Ross County 0. As I said earlier on, there's bouncy castles outside for the Motherwell Family Fun Day, but unfortunately not too much entertainment inside the stadium. Motherwell have dominated possession, have had most of the pressure, but have been frustrated by a very good county team so far, very well organised. As the guys were saying, a point probably wouldn't be the worst result for Malcolm Mackay's side, and they haven't been too adventurous. So they did come into the game towards half time. Paul McGinn, surprisingly, has been one of Motherwell's biggest threats. He had a couple of shots from distance. Kevin Veen, unsurprisingly, has also been a threat. He's aiming to score his ninth successive game. He's been very good again, constant threat. 16 minutes, he burst free in the left and was denied by a decent Ross Laidlaw save. The county keeper was then quick off his line to thwart Van Veen after a brilliant Blair Spittle pass. He's been real good for Motherwell. Van Veen had a shot blocked. Motherwell kept looking for the opener, but towards the half time whistle, county did pose a bigger threat. Alex Samuel, he's been constantly running, did well to find space, sent a low shot inches past the post. Jack Baldwin then got on the end of a corner, but he headed well wide. So county will probably be the happier of the two teams so far, but everyone will be hoping for more excitement in the second half. Half time, Motherwell 0, Ross County 0.
Half time at Celtic Park. Fraser Wishart.
It is a surprise. Celtic 1, St Mirren 2. The Celtic fans, probably maybe for the only time this season, very quiet at half time because it's not going to plan. Celtic have had lots of possession, as they always do, but they've hardly created any chances inside the penalty box. And Trevor Carson, the St Mirren goal, has had to deal with a few good shots from distance, but very little from close range. But when St Mirren go to the other end, in the few occasions they've got for, they've looked very dangerous and looked like scoring a goal. And Curtis Mayne has scored two for them, with Kyogo with a fantastic finish sandwiched in between them. Celtic, as you expect, started really brightly, actually moving the ball quickly, pressuring the St Mirren goal. But in 4 minutes, it was St Mirren that took the lead. It was quite simple, a long ball in behind Iwata, playing at centre back. Curtis Mayne first onto the ball. He ran into the box from the byline. He cut back through a Ralston tackle onto his right foot, and his low shot went under Joe Hart. It wasn't a great effort, and I think the keeper should have done better. But St Mirren were one up. The lead lasted only 10 minutes. A brilliant goal by Celtic. Iwata at the back with a really sharp pass into Hatate, who controlled it, and then with his second touch, lovely pass to Kyogo, spun into the inside right position. His control was excellent, and he fired the ball high past Carson into the net. It was a brilliant finish by the player of the year. Celtic now almost exclusively St Mirren's half, moving the ball well, plenty of movement by the players. O'Reilly tested Carson, his low left foot shot saved at his left hand post by the St Mirren goalkeeper. Hatate was just over with Carson scrambling for a fierce shot from 25 yards. But then Celtic, all of a sudden, the tempo drop, became a bit slack on the ball, fans became quieter as he couldn't get in behind the St Mirren defence, and no real chances at this stage. St Mirren began to grow in confidence. They had a decent spell, a number of crosses into the Celtic box, a couple of corners, and from that second corner, Richard Taylor, the ball fell to the big centre half inside the 6 yard box. He needed to just control it and finish, but his control was poor, and Joe Hart grabbed the ball. Then at the other end, Carson had to move smartly to stop an own goal. Jota, as he's done continually on the right hand side, really testing small, but a low driven cross that hit Richard Taylor and almost sneaked in the near post. Good save by the goalkeeper. But in 38 minutes, no surprise really, St Mirren again back on the attack. They took the lead, a long throw from the right hand side into the box. It wasn't clear. Mark O'Hara headed the ball, looked over the defence to Curtis Mayne, who headed firmly past Joe Hart to his right. The VAR check gave a goal. The keeper didn't move to see the ball. And then Celtic, the fans really unexpectedly behind, moved forward to try and get the equaliser. O'Reilly again forced a save from Carson, 25 yards, good save by the goalkeeper to the left. But to be honest, Celtic, no real tempo. They have to get in behind the St Mirren defence, move the ball quicker in the second half, and they have to defend better, because as we said before the game, St Mirren won't get forward too often, but when they do, they have to make the most of it. And boy, have they done that with those two Curtis main goals. Half time at Celtic Park, Celtic 1, St Mirren 2.
Roger Hannah has the half-time story at Rugby Park.
It's Kilmarnock nil, St Johnstone 1 at the break. Andrew, a great start by St Johnstone. They could have been ahead after 7 minutes. Ryan McGowan back at the heart of the midfield, freeing Gray right down the right-hand side. His angle drive, really good save by the Kilmarnock goalkeeper, Sam Walker. But the host just didn't heed that warning, and they were behind after 11 minutes. Graham Carey on his 34th birthday, swinging in a corner to the back post. No Kilmarnock head went up for it, and there was the St Johnstone captain, Liam Gordon, the match winner against Dundee United a fortnight ago at McDermott Park. He rose highest and boomed his header home. Cameron Ballantyne making a first ever start for Saints. He was booked for a foul on David Watson soon afterwards, and it really did take Derek McInnes' side a while to beat a pass to Remy Matthews' goal. Kyle Vassell volleyed high over the bar after 31 minutes, and then 2 minutes later, Luke Chambers, who's playing today after saying he would miss the World Under 20 Cup with England and Argentina, he hit a post with a low drive with Watson just unable to turn home the rebound. Liam Donnelly was the next Killy player to threaten equaliser 2 minutes before the break, as he flashed an angle drive inches past the far post. But then disaster for Kilmarnock a minute from half time, as young midfielder Watson, so impressive in the engine room this season, he went in very heavily on midfield adversary Ballantyne. Referee John Beaton took his time to assess things. He was well placed, and he pulled out a red card. The decision backed by VAR Andrew Dallas. It really looks an uphill battle for Kilmarnock with 10 men in the second half. As things stand, Killy are in the relegation spot, St Johnstone are safe, and Stephen McLean might yet be proved correct. Kilmarnock 0, St Johnstone 1.
And half time between Livingston and Dundee United, Dave Galloway.
Half time, Andrew, Livingston 1, Dundee United 1. United very quickly out of the traps, forcing a corner after just 15 seconds. But Livy took the lead 11 minutes in after some really dreadful defending. Birigiti and Aina got their wires horribly crossed. Anderson pounced, went round the keeper, and finished quite superbly from a tight angle. De Lucas thought he'd made it 2-0, but his strike after a free kick was pumped into the box was ruled out for handball. But after 21 minutes it was 1-1 thanks to a superb volley by Harkes from just outside the box, low into the net after McLeod's ball in. Stephen Kelly almost restored Libby's lead with a free kick up and over the wall, but also just over the bar. Harkes drilled in a drive as he went for his own and the Tangerines' second goal. However, a deflection took the ball wide of target. Both sides having a real go, and Montano showed fine skills indeed, beating two or three men to fashion an opening on the edge of the box, but he had his head in his hands after his pile driver of a shot fizzed narrowly past the keeper's left hand post. A good first half for the fans to watch. The home side maybe just about have the edge, but at the interval it's all square. Livingston 1, Dundee United 1.
A full round up of your half time scores next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores across the country. Let's start with the Scottish Premiership in the early kick-off. A full-time score, Hearts 2, Aberdeen 1. In the 3 o'clock kick-offs at half-time, it's Celtic 1, St Mirren 2, Kilmarnock 0, St Johnstone 1, Livingston 1, Dundee United 1 and Motherwell 0, Ross County 0. The only lower league action is the Scottish League 2 playoff final second leg between Albion Rovers and Spartans. At half-time, it's Albion Rovers 0, Spartans 1, which means Spartans lead 2-1. On aggregate in the English Premier League, in the early kickoff, Tottenham 1, Brentford 3 was a full-time score. And the half-time scores, Bournemouth 0, Manchester United 1, Fulham 1, Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 0, Aston Villa 1 and Wolves 1, Everton 0. We'll bring you the second halves next.